Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Praise the Lord. Gloria a Dios. Gloria al Cordero. Don't get me started in Spanish, ladies. Don't get me started. It'll just come like a waterfall. Well, who's ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Do you guys remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago? We were outside. Pastor Jessica, we're starting a series in the summer about the... Oh, okay, our pastors know. It's okay. It's about the Word. So all summer long, we're going to be talking about the Word, the power of the Word, the importance of the Word. Anybody here just love the Word of God? You just love it. And I know you do, ladies, because you're here on a Thursday morning, and we dive deep, and we really eat from the Word. And sometimes from this pulpit is like a fire hydrant hose. And we're just like, wait, I can't process. It's so much. It's always so rich and so good. And so today we're going to just dive right in, and we're going to talk about the Word as a sword. The Word as a sword. And I just want to paint a picture today that we have a bridegroom, Jesus Christ. I'm just going to dive right in. Our bridegroom is Jesus Christ. What kind of a man is he? Yes, he's a man. He's all man and all God. What kind of a bridegroom do we have? He is all powerful, isn't he? The Bible says a sword comes out of his mouth. He is majestic. He's strong and powerful. His love is so sacrificial. He laid down his life. He lives to intercede for us. He's so giving and so loving. So what kind of a bride does our bridegroom need? He needs a bride who is equally as strong, equally as loving, knows how to lay down her life, knows how to speak in faith. Is the Lord Jesus full of faith? He is so full of faith. And we know that because the Bible says the universe was made by faith, by the Word. So God is creating things using faith. His wife and his bride, how does she need to be? Full of faith, full of the Word. So he is just calling us as his church to grow up and to be his equal helpmeet, to be his bride. And so we are growing. We are growing in these things because he is wanting us to be ready when he comes. The Bible says we're going to be so ready. We're going to be without spot or wrinkle. We're going to be in the unity of the faith. Did you know that? All over the world, the Bible says, the church, we're going to be in such a unity of the faith. And so he gave us a beautiful gift to help us to grow stronger and to be more like him. And that gift is a sword. He gave his bride a sword. And it works to prepare us and to get us strong and to get us to be that warrior bride that he is looking for. Amen? So the Word does two things. It deals with a couple of issues that we have in this world. Anybody know our world is very broken and still kind of messed up? Yeah. Or very messed up sometimes, you hear. And the sword is doing its work. The sword is doing its work to prepare us to be his bride. And it works on two areas. It works on the flesh. It works on the flesh. You can point inward. That sword is working on me. Amen. And that sword is working on the devil. Amen. So we're going to just dive right into that. Number one, the sword cuts away the flesh. And let's just go into an amazing scripture that I hope we can really lock in. This would be the one I would love for us to commit to memory. We're memorizing scripture this summer. Sorry, I was crying, so I have like this phlegm. You cry and you know that's a good sign. God is here. His presence is here. Let's go to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Hebrews 4. And I love it that 2 weeks ago when we met and we started this series on the Word, we had to have our Bibles, right? There was like some games where we couldn't use the phone. We had to have our Bible. And Pastor Jessica is, I believe she's prophetically telling us, don't get too reliant on your phone and on Google and looking things up. You got to know it. You got to know. They might even take the paper ones away like they do in China. And they have to commit it to memory. So let's read Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. This is what the sword is doing in us. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And I want to emphasize in verse 12, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So every time we come here Thursday, every time we come here Sunday or Saturday, we open ourselves up and say, Lord, when they preach that word, I want you to come in and just show me what's flesh, show me what's spirit, what's really going on inside of me. And I pray that that even happens today. Amen. And I want us to look in verse 12 for just a second here, because we're going to dig in a little bit. It says, for the word of God is, okay, first word. What's the first word in verse 12? For. I'm taking out this barrette because it's in the way of my glasses. the word of God is alive for. So the word for means you see, okay? It's like, for the word of God, you see the word of God. So it means there's something before there. It's connected to the verse right before it. Did you catch that? It could say, let me explain further. Let me explain further. See, the word of God. So it's like, oh, wait, let's back up. Let's look at this in context. So anytime we study the word, we got to really look at the surrounding verses to catch what's really going on here. So let's look at verse 4:11. Okay? Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Oh, okay, wait. Now I have to read more. Now I can't just go back one verse. I've got to back up. So in my study time, I read all of chapter 4, and I just thought, no. This goes back further. This goes back further. And sure enough, we get the secret in chapter 3. And just to save time, I'm going to give a summary. And what was happening is the writer of Hebrews is describing what happened with the children of Israel when they were taken out of Egypt and they were about to go in the promised land, and they just really messed up. So they lost their opportunity. They disqualified themselves, and they wandered around for 40 years until they all died. And in this book, it's saying, this is an example for us. We have to be so careful. We have to watch out and not fall into their disobedience, or the same thing's going to happen to us. We'll be disqualified, and our kids will have to press into the things of the Lord, and our kids will have to live out the destiny that we were supposed to live. Is anybody understanding how serious this is? So this is a warning to us. And so verse 12 says, let me explain. The word of God is coming in and dividing those little subtle things, those subtle little problems that we don't even realize. And there's two things that the children of Israel were doing. And this is what the sword is going to expose. You know what their two big sins were? Number one, they were complaining, which is a bad attitude. I know nobody here ever has a bad attitude. And the second one was they were coming up with their own plan to fix some things. When they felt pain, when they were uncomfortable, they started scrambling and, let's make an idol. We're going to worship the idol. That'll make everything better. Oh, we need to go back to Egypt. This is too painful. We got to go back. You see? Does this sound familiar, ladies? We're coming up sometimes with our own plan to fix things. I feel terrible, so I'm just going to eat this cake and I'll feel so much better. Okay, I'm skinny, but I know too. I know about these things too, okay? And so what happens? God is saying, the word is gonna come in and show you. He's gonna show you, watch out. You're about to get into some disobedience that's going to disqualify you from a life of blessing. It's going to hold you back. You're not going to go forward and you're not going to grow. So you have to let the word of God, every time we gather, ladies, and every time you open this word, you got to say, Lord, cut me. Maybe not literally like that, but but I do say that. I do. I'm like, God, come on. I see Dr. V up here. I'm like, just give it to me. Just tell me, like, Pastor Jessica, right? She does not mince words. She just, man, last 2 weeks ago, I was back there translating. We had set up a little table inside the foyer, you know, behind the glass doors. And I had some room to pace. And ladies, I mean, I was preaching. Ask the ladies. I was preaching. She's preaching. I'm preaching. I'm getting into it. I'm pounding the table. And I look over here, and there's some visiting pastors watching me. But that is the word of God. That's called the sword of the Lord going forward. It's beautiful. It's exciting because it's showing us some things in our heart that need some attention. Amen. There's things going on in us. We're just not seeing clearly. We're starting to fall into, like, you know, low self-esteem. We're starting to fall into unforgiveness. Little things are starting to sprout up in us, and we just don't even realize it. And then we hear the word of the Lord, or we read it, and it's like, oh my gosh, right? That moment of, oh my gosh, cut it away, amen? Thank you, Lord. So we must let the word of God pierce our hearts and cut away those things that are not part of his beautiful plan for our lives. Amen. So if we use the children of Israel as our example, which in Hebrews it does, they're the example. Watch out. They messed up. It was attitudes, bad attitude. I just can't believe we, right? And scrambling to find your own solution. I know what will make me feel better. I know what can fix this. And we're just totally deviating from, like, what God is wanting us to do. Amen. Can anyone relate? Yeah. Amen. God is good. God is good. So let's go on to John chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. I love the sound of rustling pages, you know? John 15. I know it's on the screen, but I just love this. Let's use our Bibles. And I do love my Bible on my phone. I can read it at night. So, you know, we had a visiting missionary years ago from China. And he preached for like 3 hours. It was kind of weird. This is back in our old church. And but, you know, in China, 3 hours is not a long time, you know? So that was kind of like short for him. But anyway, one thing he mentioned, of all people to mention this revelation, he said, all technology is actually from God for the furtherance of the gospel. That's not in my notes. I just feel to just share this. All technology is actually for the furtherance of the gospel. And I was like, what? What about those X-rated, like, movies and stuff? And he was saying the devil takes it and misuses it. And I cannot tell you how much I use Google to study my Bible, ladies, because I'll remember a verse. Oh, Lord, I know you said something about, like, you know, let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I'm rich. Google that thing every time the scripture comes up. And so I do understand that we can't rely too heavily on it. Remember our scripture verse that we were supposed to be memorizing? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Not in my Google, okay? In my heart. So we got it. But I'm just saying, technology is amazing. Use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. That's just a little freebie. John 15, 1 through 3. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. See, he and his disciples were walking now from the upper room to a garden. And I believe, I've heard from from experts at that time of year. Gosh, I'm not used to readers. I'm just barely getting started with readers. I'm 50 now, so excuse me. I'm embracing a new season. Ah, can't see you. And they're my husband's. They're walking through and they're watching the vines, the grapevines, be pruned. They're watching them. And so they're there at work, tossing the branch, cutting, tossing the branch. And they're as they're walking along, wouldn't you have just been, just would love to be there with Jesus? He's teaching. The word is opening the word, you know? And so he's looking around and he's saying, hey guys, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 3, this is the key. This is how he prunes us. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So every time we gather, that sword is having its way on us, isn't it? It's cutting off things. We're starting to grow a little bit bitter towards someone, a family member, that cousin so-and-so, whose kids, blah, blah, blah. And we come and we read, and it's like, oh, it just cuts that thing off. And we read, love is patient, love is kind, love believes the best of people. And it just cuts off that bitterness, doesn't it? Has that ever happened to you? You're just like, thank you, God. You just got me right back to where I need to be. It cleans us and it cleanses us. I'm so, so grateful for this written word. Let's just look one more reference here about the word working on us, Revelations 1:16. Thank you, Lord. It says, this is a description of Jesus, our Lord, our amazing, amazing King. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. And so, whenever we are with him, whenever we are with our Lord, we want to invite that sword, because it's not one of destruction, it's one of healing and of discipling and of helping us. Amen. And I do, again, I want to return to the concept that we are called to be like him. There's a spiritual law, there's a biblical principle: you shall not be unequally yoked. So if there is a sword coming out of Jesus' mouth, I believe someday out of his bride, we are going to have the sword of the Lord coming out of our mouth. Amen. And every time we speak the word, every time we're teaching the word, may it be a sword. May it be a sword with our kids. Not to hurt and cut and harm. You know, our tongues can be a sword that is used destructively. We have to be so cautious. So cautious. If you're holding a scalpel, I mean, you just brush that against something and it's just going to absolutely slice it. So we have to be careful. May it be the sword of the Lord. It hurts so good. You know, it hurts so good. You're like, oh, but you just know it's doing such a good word. Thank you, Lord. Let me look at my notes here really quick. Okay. So each time we come to church, or listen to a message or read the Bible, let's have the mindset, Lord, let your sword enter my heart right now and do its work. How do we allow it to change our hearts? You're saying, okay, Lord, I want to let your word come in and do its work. What's my part? Well, we agree with it. We agree. We say, yes, yes, Lord, your love is patient. Yes, Lord, your love is kind. Amen. Yes, Lord. And then we hide it in our hearts so we don't sin against God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, right? That's actually 119 verse 11. Sorry, that was not our memory verse, Psalm 119, 11. Our memory verse was Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, okay? We memorize it. We hide it in our heart. we speak it and we put it into action. And so we just try and internalize that thing as best we can. I know you ladies are amazing. You tell me stories. Yeah, I put it on postcards and I stick it on my dashboard or on my mirror. I'm like, yes, just getting that word in. It's so good. It's transforming us and changing us. You know, I just want to read something here in my notes. Some things are not exactly a sin, like shopping. Shopping's not a sin. You have to shop. Everybody laughed, right? What? It's because y'all be sinning with your shopping. I know. Working is not a sin. TV is not a sin. But if it's the way you are solving that inner problem, right, that's a sin. Instead of going to God, right, that's really what we should be doing, going to God. All throughout the Bible, over and over and over, God is just saying, come to me, come to me. Come to me, I'll help you solve that. I will give you all that you need and you'll overcome it. So instead of going to these other things, we go to God. Amen. And I just, it was lovely hearing at this table here, just some of the strategies that different ones have. Because going to God can be hard sometimes, right? We get distracted. We're like squirrel, you know, distracted. And it's just, or we're just getting nothing. You know, so we were saying sometimes if I go for a walk, it's like I'm walking with Jesus and then I can connect. And some people were saying when I journal, I just spill it all out in writing. You know, it just helps me really connect and I can hear from God. So I just want to hear from you guys. I know some of you are kind of far away, so speak nice and loud. Raise your hand. What is something you do to connect with God when there is an issue or a problem so that you're not turning to shopping, you know, or TV, or let me take out a loan, money, borrow money, you know, whatever. What are some things that you do to connect with God? Just raise your hand and I'll just have you shout it out. Yes. Hallelujah. She said, play some gospel music. Those words, the Bible says, he surrounds me with songs of deliverance. Amen. So good. Anybody else? Yes, right here. The concordance, absolutely. Brilliant. At the back of many Bibles, it'll have a word and a lot of references. So if you're like, God, I'm just feeling so much fear. I'm feeling fear. Just go to fear. You know, and you're going to get verses like, fear not, for I am with you. Amen. Or, God, my finances, you know, I don't know. So go in the back, look for money. No, money doesn't have it. Okay, finances. Okay, provision. Okay, trust. Okay, right? Is that brilliant? Brilliant. These are tools that we let's use them. Let's use them. Anybody else? Yeah, right there. Journal. Huge. Yes, journal. I go, honestly, I'll tell you the truth, at home, it's hard for me to journal because I'm falling asleep. I'm falling asleep or I'm doing chores. And so I go to Starbucks. It's my little, I tell my husband, and I get the cheapest thing on the menu. Okay, I'm a cheapo, but it helps me stay awake and focus, and I'm just journaling and writing. And I cannot tell you how many times the word of the Lord has come to me. Thank you, Jesus, for starving. I know some of you are like, they're from the devil. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying go. I'm just saying that I do pray. I actually pray for Starbucks because I see people discipling other people at a Starbucks, and I see fellowship, and I see dates and stuff. So anyway, may the Lord speak to you. That's my little tip. One more from this side. Yes, over here. Yes, you. Oh, yes. Yes. So good. Amen. Okay, so she was mentioning, just talk to the Lord like I'm talking to you right now. I just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, is this from you or is this not from you? And just getting some clarity. We talked about that. You get a, show me a fresh perspective. How are you seeing this? from way up there in heaven. How are you seeing this, you know? And he gives us a fresh perspective on that person who's bothering us, right? And then she mentioned, I just open the Bible and see what scripture, it just is right there jumping out at me. Sometimes it's genuinely from the Lord. And, you know, God is just so gracious and good like that. His word is amazing. Sometimes it's just right there, like walking along and seeing a gem, and just pick up the gem. You just open the word and it's just right there. Amen. So sometimes it is digging in. Sometimes it's just laying right on the on the ground. And God uses his word to direct us. And I know you all, I wish I could have been at every table to hear your conversations, because I know it was just so, so good. That's the little chismosa in me that wants to hear everybody's stories. Chismosa means, you know, that like nosy one, like, oh, can I hear? You know, praise the Lord. Okay, number two, remember the two things that the word as the sword is cutting, first our flesh, and then it's coming against the devil. Praise the Lord. Our bridegroom is like, daughter, you have, my bride, you have a sword in your hand. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5:11. I don't hear any pages moving. Everyone's like, just kidding. All right. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. It must be 6:11. I'm so sorry. Yes. Oh, and then the overhead people probably have the wrong one too. If you can pull up Ephesians 6:11. See, this is why we need our Bibles. See, I did that on purpose. No, I'm just kidding. Only those with the Bible can know what it says. Just kidding. Okay, let's read. We're getting silly. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Schemes, okay? So, and then down below it lists what they are, and one of them is the sword. I should have put it on the overhead too, but if you have your Bible, you can read it. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. But we're not coming against, you know, just a demon. We all might experience an evil presence or an evil spirit at different times, maybe in our house. We speak to that thing and command it to go away. I feel this is a little bit different. It says the devil's schemes. This is a trap. This is something he set up for you to fall into. It is tailor-made for you. He wants you to fall into sin. He wants you to fall into offending God and doing the wrong thing. So let's think about this. The word of God comes against those traps and those tricks that the devil has set up against us. Are we catching that? So the word of God is going to help us. It's going to keep us from falling. So what is your personal battle with temptation? What scheme is the devil trying on you these days? It's probably different than when you were at a different season in your life, right? So it might be something like I kind of joked about it earlier. I just know this dessert will make me feel so much better, right? If I could just vent with my friend about how frustrated I feel with a certain person, I would just feel so much better, right? And so then we're talking bad because we just need to vent. And let me just put a little PS, vent to the Lord. Vent to the Lord, and then get his perspective on that person. That's just a little parenthesis. But we're talking about, what is the devil trying to... He knows me. He knows my weaknesses. And let's do one more example. I am so concerned for my... Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. I'm so concerned for my daughter, finances, marriage, health, future, country. So concerned. This is a big temptation because anxiety is a sin. And that fretfulness, the Bible says in Psalms, it only brings evil. we have to really watch out for that one. Amen? So just take a minute and say, okay, Lord, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion. He's watching. He's a watcher. And he's saying, what's going to get to her? I want her to fall. I want her to fall. And I was gonna save this to the end, but I just feel to just jump right to it now. So these will be our scripture references at the end. Why does the devil want us to sin? Why is that on his mind? Why is he trying to get us to fall into temptation? Remember Jesus' the Lord's Prayer? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There is a connection, okay, between falling into temptation and getting stuck by evil. And so let's look at this. The devil knows what he's doing. He's trying to get us to sin. And the first thing I want to mention is in a minute we'll look at John 8. So we're going a little bit out of order today. But I want to talk first about a situation that happened in the Old Testament. You guys remember Balaam's donkey? Maybe your kids have heard about it in their kids' classes. Balaam, the donkey talked. He was on his way. He was like a sorcerer, and an enemy king said, I need you to go and curse Israel because they're coming into the promised land. So he's like, okay, they paid him a bunch of money. He's going to curse Israel. And his donkey, you know, that's the episode where the donkey won't let him go because the angel is stopping him. Well, he finally gets to his destination, and he starts to try and curse Israel, and guess what comes out of his mouth? Blessing. It happens over and over, like five times or something. It happens over and over, and I'm just giving you a summary. This happened in Numbers 25. It references, it gives a little more explanation in chapter 31 and then in Revelations 2:14. And then Balaam, the sorcerer, goes to that king. The king is so mad. Why are you blessing them? Huge blessings. You will be unstoppable. You are going to take over. The enemy king is like, what are you doing? So Balaam says, listen, I cannot curse what God has blessed, but here's what you got to do. If you can get them to fall into sin, then judgment will fall on them. And that's exactly what they did. Do you see what the devil's trying to do in our lives? He wants us to just turn our back on God and say yes to sin, because then he knows he can step in and bring destruction to our lives. Do we see this scheme? We have a sword to come against this scheme. This is a trick. It's lies. And so the Moabite women go to the Israelite camp. They're seducing them. The men are taking them right into the tent to have sex with them. Like, everybody sees it. They're going right in. And a plague comes and starts destroying Israel. And they have to repent from that thing. This is the same strategy throughout all of history. It's nothing new. And so he's watching each one of us to get to know us and know what makes us tick and what's going to bring us down, okay? So very, very serious. Let's look at Revelation 12:10. I'm going to really drive this point home, okay, so that we we remember this. Oh, but the blood of Jesus. Revelations 12:10. I'm just going to read it up here. Oh. I'm sorry, Jason. He's so good. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Why is the devil accusing us? She's sinning. He's sinning. Why is he accusing us? Because if he has something on us, he knows he has a right to bring death and destruction. Let's go to Romans 6:23. We have an accuser coming against us. She did. You saw that, God. You saw what she did. Right? He is accusing us before God so that he has a right. And I'll show you what law is he using. Romans 6:23. Sorry if I get excited. I'm just like, I gotta tell you guys what he's up to. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The devil knows this, ladies. The wages of sin is death. If we're saying yes to sin in our lives, he's like, I get to bring death in there. I get to bring destruction. John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He has no right to touch us unless we open the door with sin, with unforgiveness, with disobeying some instructions God has given us. Some of us have specific instructions that are just for us. It's not for anyone else. God has told us. You know, God has spoken to me about certain drinks and foods. I had to get off coffee. And that's not for anybody else. I fix my husband his coffee every morning. But I just know he was like, I know your body. And so, you know, we gotta obey the Lord. We gotta obey the Lord. So do we see that the devil is just desperate to absolutely destroy us? He's evil and wicked, and he wants to trip us up and trap us. And the sword didn't he do that with Jesus? He did that with Jesus. He even used the Bible to try and get Jesus to trip up, and Jesus had the word of the Lord. So as soon as you start getting upset with your husband, he's just driving you crazy. He's not stepping up and doing what he's to do. The word of the Lord is going to come. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Right? So we're going to say, Lord, you know, show me your way. Your way is higher. And that doesn't mean don't talk, don't communicate, don't confront. That's fine. I'm just saying the Lord is going to keep us in his way and on his path. Amen? So Satan doesn't just want to destroy humans. He wants to control us. He wants to take over. So let's look at this. John 8:34. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We say yes to that thing, and a little bit more, we're saying, he's my boss. I don't know what examples of sin. Maybe you guys could give me some examples. Just raise your hand. What's a sin that has a lot of people trapped these days? Yes. Being permissive. Sexual sin. I mean, yeah. Our society is just inundated with this thing. So let's think about this for just a minute. Someone is being really tempted to do this thing. They're saying, you know, women are just not as addicted to porn as men, but it's an issue, you know? And so the enemy is trying to put these hot guys in front of our paths, right? Or whatever it is, you know? And that's when the word of God comes in. And we say, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, no sin will have control over me. And we remember the word of God and we use it on those things. Sometimes you just got to say it out loud. You know, just say it out loud. Praise God. So if you keep saying yes to that sin is going to like enslave you more and more and more and more until you lose control and that thing controls you, and it becomes an obsession. Romans 6:16. We're going to just go through these quickly. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, all different forms of death. Pastor Deborah has said death is a separation of any kind. Whether you're separating from your body, or you're separating in your marriage, or you're separating from your finances, or you're separating from your mental health. Death, that's death. Or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. I want to keep doing the obedience thing so that I'm more and more saying, Jesus is my Lord. That sin is not my Lord. He's my master. That thing is not my master. Amen? Let's look just one more place, and let's go ahead and find this in our Bibles, because this has been so good to use our Bibles here. Genesis 4:7. Genesis 4:7. Thank you, Lord. Can you guess what story this is? Anybody remember? Genesis 4. What happened in Genesis 4? One was the creation. All right, verse 7. Here's God talking to Cain. Well, if you have your Bible, look at verse 6. I'm going to read it. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you angry, Cain? What's going on? Why is your face downcast?" Verse 7. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. But you," let's say it together, "must rule over it." We got to rule over that sin, or it is crouching to control us. And please, you know, share this with your friends as they are able to hear it. Just say, every time you say yes to sin, that thing wants to come and control you more and more. It's not for no reason that a spirit of permissiveness will be cast out, a spirit of a certain sin. A certain sin, many times, is associated with a certain spirit, because that sin has opened the door to that thing to come in and now control. Amen? God is so good. But I want us to return to a more positive view, which is our bridegroom. And he's saying, "Daughter, I'm giving you a sword. I'm giving you a sword. Do not be afraid. Every scheme of the enemy you will thwart." And Isaiah, I believe it's 57:17. "No weapon formed against you will prosper." 54:17. Thank you. "No weapon formed against..." See, she knew her word. I love that. "Will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you," that's the accuser, coming and saying, "Pastor Tracy is a witch," whatever. "She lost her temper on the freeway. She needs to be judged." I don't know. "Every tongue that rises up against you." Ladies, you might be surprised the chatter in heaven about your life and your name. They're wanting to accuse you. "Every tongue that rises against you." What is the Bible? Let's turn there. It's too good. It's just too good. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm in Psalms. Oh, thank you, Jesus. "No weapon formed against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord." Can I tell you the craziest thing? Sometimes the devil is accusing you before the Lord. "She did this." And maybe you actually did it, but the blood of Jesus declares you righteous. We don't deserve it. We are greatly humbled by that fact. We don't take it for granted. But we stand before the Lord and he says, the record is clean. She's wearing white robes right now. So there's no case here. You cannot touch her. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I didn't know we were going to go here today. The blood. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. One is the sword, which is the word of God. Another is the blood. The blood is powerful. Another is the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just, I just sense the weightiness of the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I do want to go to our tables in a minute do one more question, and then I'll share one more time. So we'll do another 10 minutes at our tables for another question. But first, let's just wait on the Lord for a second here. Father, we thank you. We will not fear our enemy, no matter how evil or wicked he is. He's under our feet. Thank you, Lord. He is under our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Is it Luke 10:19? I know the kids learn it. Luke 10:19. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Amen. And over all the power of the enemy. Thank you. Yes. He's under our feet. We do not need to fear these things, but we need to wake up and be really aware. This is a trap. This is a scam. I fell into a scam a couple years ago. Yeah. Our hard-earned money from our savings account to someone posing as Pastor Jim. I'm so embarrassed. I feel so dumb. I feel so, so dumb. I don't want to share that with you, but I feel like I should. Because I had to go to God and just be like, what happened, Lord? And he said, you didn't even ask the Holy Spirit. You didn't even stop for a split second. You were just like, oh my gosh, Pastor Jim. And, you know, and the Lord was just reminding me, the devil is doing that to all of us all the time. What can I reel you in with? You know, we've got people in our life that are just making us so angry. That's a trap, ladies. That's a trap. Don't fall into it. You might lose something of great value like I did. Okay? We have to be alert. We have to be alert. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go to our tables. And we're going to take about 10 minutes and talk about one more topic, and then I'm going to talk to you one more time, and then we'll go to the tables again. Is that okay? We're breaking it up just a little bit today. So the next question for you to talk about is, what are some truths that the world is claiming? Like, you can be whatever gender you want, okay? What are some things in the world that they're saying, and it's just a trap, it's just a scheme, it's a scheme. So talk about some things that is going on in the world. The first thing is you got to believe in the cross, that Jesus died for your sins, that he took your sins. We talked about the blood. He erased the record. He's giving you a fresh start and sending you on a brand new adventure with him. He loves you so much. And to believe that he was powerful enough and that he actually rose from the dead. It takes faith. We weren't there in history. We read about it. But we take that step of faith and say, yes, I believe, Lord. You don't just love me. You didn't just die on the cross. You're all powerful. And you rose from the dead and you conquered death and sickness and the grave and everything else that the world could possibly throw our way. He has conquered it. He's above. And to declare those things, the Bible says in Romans 10:10, if you believe it in your heart and you speak it out, you can't keep it in the invisible realm. Bring it out to the natural realm with your words. You speak it out. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he died for me, that he rose from the dead. The Bible says if you will take that step, you have crossed over from death to life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And so I want to extend that invitation for anyone here today. And I just sense from the Lord, he's just saying, I love you. I love you. There's arguments, there's questions, there's the but what if, you know, and God is just saying, I love you. And he's silencing your thoughts and he's calming your heart and saying, but I love you. I love you. And he's calling you today. And so we're going to, in just a minute, speak a prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer and you just speak those things that you believe in your heart. And those things are recorded in heaven. God takes it seriously and you will have a new start and a new beginning. So the way we do it here is I'll count to three. I'll hit the pulpit. And when I count to three and you hear the pulpit being hit, your hand goes up. Your hand goes up and you say, that's me. I wanna cross that line. I wanna make that decision. It's so important. Please don't leave here today without saying yes to the Lord. His hand is extended to you and he's inviting you. Amen. So are you ready, ladies? Please don't be afraid. Don't even think about the people around you. This is the Lord Jesus extending his hand to you today. Are you ready? One, if you've been running to God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Two, if you know today is the day you're going to get a brand new start, I'm speaking to you. Three, raise your hand. Raise your hand in this place. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here? Anyone here saying, yes, I want. I don't see the hands. Let's see. Okay, yes, yes, I see you. Yes, two of you. Praise God. Que valentía. This courage. Courage. To say yes, God. It is saying yes to surrender. To say, Lord, you take the reins. You take the wheel. Direct my life. Let's join them in prayer, shall we, ladies? I'm going to say words. Just repeat them after me from your heart. From your heart. Amen. It's not saying it perfectly. It's just speaking it to the Lord. So repeat after me and say, Father God, here I am. Take all of me. Wash away my sins. I believe in your Son. I believe Jesus died for me to wash away my sins and give me a new beginning. Launch me into my destiny. Give me first steps to follow you. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate. Really good. Really good. You know, when people get married, they say vows. They just say words, but really their life changes from then on. So today is an important date. Mark it down. This is a new beginning. God takes this seriously. It is written in heaven. And we have some friends we want to offer you that are going to just give you some practical advice, some like next baby steps, you know, maybe big steps. It's up to God, but it's we have a book and we want to offer you a friend if you would like. It's called, what are they called? Faith-filled friends. They used to be called a spiritual personal trainer. We changed the name a little bit, but they're like a personal trainer, right? And so we'll connect someone with you. How do we connect them? Is it Deborah in the back? So if you want to just look back there, okay, they did good. I just want to pray for you, ladies. Can we pray for them? Just extend a hand toward these beautiful daughters. Oh, Father, fill them with your Holy Spirit right now. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. I just pray you pour out upon them even now like fresh oil upon their head. Fill them in the most deep part of their being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Fresh anointing upon their heads. Fresh anointing upon their heads in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we praise the Lord one more time for an amazing day in His presence? Come on up, Julia.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.